This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Merrick, you did a bit of a road trip during the summer, if I remember correctly, up and down the East Coast. And this trip is completely different, flying out to Germany. But the big thing that some people are starting to talk about, and it's kind of it's just kind of a wait and see, and whatever happens, happens. But the Miami Dolphins left for Germany on Monday. The Kansas City Chiefs are leaving for Germany on Thursday. That means the Miami Dolphins will be practicing three times in Germany. We've already had players like Javon Holland and Tua come out and say, hey, we kind of like being tourists a little bit. Tua mentioned he was playing golf. Well, for the Chiefs, they're practicing twice in the States, flying over, and they're kind of just doing like tunnel vision for 2 days. We're just going to practice, we're just going to football, and we're going to go back home, and it's going to be over. When you hear of those two approaches, does it matter? Before you pick which one is better, does it matter?
I think it does matter. And I think history kind of shows that the team that goes earlier maybe is a little bit fresher. They're able to avoid some of the jet lag that the teams that travel later in the week experience during the game. And I think it actually bears itself out in the win-loss column. I don't have full numbers in front of me. I can't give you an exact win-loss record, but I do believe the team that travels over earlier does win a higher percentage of the time than the team who does travel later. So I think that could be a good omen for this Dolphins team this weekend against the Chiefs in Germany. I don't know how you get there on a Friday and then play a game on a Sunday and expect to be adjusted to that dramatic of a time shift. I mean, we talk about all the time West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast and playing those early games, how much of a disadvantage that is. And you're just, flying over a few hours over one country. Imagine flying over an entire ocean, multiple hours difference. I think it's like, 6 hours for England. If you're flying from like New York to England, there's like a 6 hour difference or something like that, 5 or 6 hours. So I prefer the Dolphins approach. I think you get a little acclimated to, your surroundings, and you're not dealing with all the extra crap that comes with traveling. They're getting to bond a little bit as a team as well. They're getting to do a little sightseeing. You got guys talking about going out for some beers and eating some schnitzel and things like that, which is, I think, just like a pork tenderloin, right? Like a schnitzel is just kind of like those are real big where I'm from here in Iowa. We're big on the pork tenderloin. So I'd probably be grabbing a schnitzel or two myself if I made the trip. But I think this early travel is a good thing for the Miami Dolphins. I think it should help them, gain a slight advantage over the Chiefs, considering their late travel, like you said, not arriving until tomorrow.
As a showman, what's your experience when you've had to travel and perform on the same day?
Yeah, it can be rough.
Or what's the longest travel you've had to do and perform on the same day, I guess I should ask?
On the exact same day, I would say driving from Iowa to, Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. On the same day, and then wrestling that night, and then driving home the following day. That was probably the longest drive where I wrestled on the exact same day. The longest drive I ever made was from Iowa up to Chicago and then down to Melbourne, Florida, which was like 20 something hours, but we didn't wrestle until the following day. But that's a long flight. You're in those seats, not the most comfortable seats in the world. They give these guys first class treatment and everything, so they have sleep pods and all the best foods, and medical staff flies with them and helps them with their injuries and stuff on the way over. So they're not traveling like you
helping
or
them
I
sleep,
would.
All the fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They're not traveling like you or I would have to travel if we were to make a trip to Germany. But still, the jet lag is real. all of the anxieties that come along with travel, those things are real. And I just feel like Mike McDaniel is taking the smart approach by getting his team over there early and helping them get acclimated to the change. And hopefully, you know, that'll bear some fruit come Sunday morning.
I think the first game where this was really put under the microscope, and I could be completely wrong, but at least for this year, the first time this was put under the microscope was the Buffalo Bills when they faced the Jags in London. The Bills did travel on Friday morning, and I think they only had like 29 yards in the first quarter. They didn't have a first down until there were 12 seconds left in the first quarter. So that's what really got my gears going about, you know, you think about the Dolphins and the Chiefs, and seeing that, you know, maybe going on a Friday can jet lag a team. Maybe you sputter your wheels for a couple of drives. I think that could be a complete game changer when you're talking about a team like the Miami Dolphins. One thing, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. The Kansas City Chiefs have an absolutely fantastic defense. And I think just having a couple drives here where maybe the Chiefs offense is sputtering, we actually know that they are dealing with some struggles here. They have a bunch of receivers who just drop the ball. There's no other explanation for it other than that. But if that's happening for a couple drives, you sprinkle in a little jet lag. I mean, I think the Dolphins would have an opportunity there to at least figure things out and be comfortable entering, let's say, the second quarter compared to, you know, KC needing to go into halftime to breathe for a minute. I don't know for sure, but that's kind of the vibe I'm starting to get.
Yeah, and I could definitely, you know, follow you down that path here. A lot of people are expecting a high-scoring game, you know, two really great offenses, although the Chiefs looked pretty abysmal against the Denver Broncos last weekend. You expect them to figure things out, get things turned around. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes after all. Exactly. But if you got two high-scoring offenses going against each other and they're trading touchdowns here, you know, and it's supposed to be a high-scoring game, you're right. A couple stops at the beginning of the game to get the Dolphins, you know, ahead of the Chiefs and leave the Chiefs playing catch-up, that could be all the Dolphins need if they keep putting touchdowns on the board throughout the contest, you know. So if the Chiefs do start slow, you could see the Dolphins start to pull away there early in the game, and that could be consequential to the outcome of this one.
So I'm seeing an over-under of 50.5 with a little bit of juice going towards the under. Where would you lean on something like that?
I wish I had the benefit of knowing, you know, what typically hits when on these overseas games. Is the under typically hit, you know,
to
because
be fair,
of the travel?
They do say that it's the Lunder. You bet the Lunder.
Yeah.
Junder? I don't think a junder works though. So we're in uncharted territory here.
I don't know. Just seeing that number, I would definitely, you know, not factoring in the travel overseas, I would definitely take the over on that one. I mean, the Dolphins themselves can put up 30 points in their sleep. Unless they're projecting the Dolphins to hold the Chiefs under 20 points, which would just be phenomenal. That would be really good for us. I definitely would take the over on that, but make, you know, when you consider it's an overseas game, it does give you a little bit of pause there.
Three of Miami's last four games that over wouldn't have hit. So I think this is going to be interesting. And, you know, the idea is all about offense, but I do think the defense is going to play a huge, huge role. We'll get into injuries in just a second here, but Merrick, we didn't get to talk on Monday. I'd love to get your sense of how this defense can flat out set a tone and how not only that, they're getting better. And hey, Vic Fangio, some people might not be able to admit it. He might be a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, my first thought, you know, and you guys have talked about it this week so far, but Jalen Ramsey coming back, like that's just his value to this team is immeasurable. And you saw that in just the one game he played. Zero catches, 0 yards, interception, had a forced fumble that was negated by a penalty on the Patriots offense. That ball bounced out of bounds anyway, so the defense
classic
wouldn't have recovered
it.
But I mean, it took that little tally mark off the stat sheet in the forced fumble column for Jalen Ramsey. But we all saw it. It was sound tackling technique. He ran his helmet through the ball carrier there, right on the football. I mean, just you really can't overstate how awesome it was to watch Jalen Ramsey in that game. He baited Mac Jones perfectly on that interception. Just it was beautiful. It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And considering he did that without Xavien Howard on the other side, without Javon Holland behind him playing safety, and also considering the fact that we're likely to get both of those guys back this weekend, this defense is certainly on an upswing, and the sky's the limit for them for real. And the pass rush is rounding into form as well. Bradley Chubb's looking like he's worth that contract now, you know, all of a sudden. And Jalen Phillips is back and getting healthy. He looks really good. You see, David Long Jr. looks like a home run acquisition for the team in the linebacker room. Like, if we get this defense healthy and they stay healthy, they have the makings of a top five unit. And what perfect timing for them to round into form here halfway through the season with a 6-2 record under their belts already.
Saying that, do you regret saying that you take the over at 50.5?
No, I think the Chiefs are still the Chiefs and they still have really good players. Travis Kelce's still playing for that team.
Isaiah, do you think they'll cover Travis Kelce? Because I see some teams like the Chargers, they don't know Travis Kelce's a player in the NFL. So do you think the Dolphins will actually try to cover Travis Kelce?
As Dolphins fans, we know historically they don't always do well against tight ends. And Travis Kelce, last I checked, pretty good football player at the tight end position for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think they, you know, as long as everyone gets back healthy, I think they have the horses in the stable to be able to run with him. You can put Jalen Ramsey on him. You can put Javon Holland on him. I would, you know, even trust Deshaun Elliott doing a little work with Travis Kelce the way Elliott's been playing lately. You have a lot of options and you don't have to cover Travis Kelce with a linebacker. You know what I mean? I think that's where teams get into trouble. It's like, oh, we'll put a linebacker on him. Well, they're too slow. We'll put a nickel corner on him. Well, they're too small. Well, Jalen Ramsey is neither slow nor small, and I would trust him to match up with Travis Kelce better than most defenders in this league. And Javon Holland the same way. You know, are they going to completely erase Travis Kelce from the game? No, probably not. But you don't need to. You just need to be able to contain him. I'm thinking maybe 5 or 6 catches for 65, 75 yards. That's a solid stat line for Kelce, but it's certainly not a stat line that's going to bury the Dolphins 6 feet under. So if you can kind of contain him to that and keep him out of the end zone or keep him from catching the ball and turning it upfield for another 20, 25 yards, I think you're going to have a good day on defense. And I think if the Dolphins defense does get healthy, and it looks like they are, I trust them, this iteration of the Dolphins defense, I trust them against Travis Kelce more so than I would any Dolphins defense in recent memory.
Even if that defense had Deion Jordan, the tight end stopper.
The tight end stopper. I was so happy when they made that trade, and then it was all downhill from there.
The value was insane. But we're not here to get upset, so I'm going to bury that one right now.